Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Our Football Podcast, episode 105. Welcome back, everybody. How are you doing? It's been a while. It's been a long while. But let's just cut to the chase. I'm just so happy because I'm with her again and we're recording my counterpart, Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, how are you doing? How's everything going?
I'm dealing and slowly and slightly painfully with the fact that we'll be in the World Cup in less than a month. I mean, it's just like dooming over us. It's like, it's right there.
I don't know how to feel about it because on the one hand, as a parent, like I got to spend most of, I went to Monterrey for the CONCACAF W. So that was that, right? Like the World Cup didn't interfere with the qualifiers. But I got to like hang out with the boys and stuff like that. But there is a part of me right now that's like, we would have gotten the World Cup done and over with, right? Not like it wouldn't have been an amazing experience, but it's like now that the holidays are coming up, I'm like, oh, that's right, the World Cup is here too, so we have it just feels like the perfect storm of stuff, you know, like it just feels like holidays, the end of the year, World Cup. It just, yeah, it feels like a lot. I mean, even
it's like we haven't stopped, like, I mean, yeah, the summer, but then we have like Independence Day over here, and then we have Halloween, we have Day of the Dead, which fortunately everyone in the world now knows thanks to Coco. And then like we have this thing here we call it El Maratón Guadalupe Reyes. Mm-hmm. Because many people celebrate the Day of the Virgin Mary, which is December 12th, and then you just keep on going. I mean, you never really stop from December, like September 15th, but technically it's from December, like mid-December, and you just keep on going with like the Rosca de Reyes, and then the tamales are in February. So we're kind of like eating nonstop since like September.
That's what I mean. I feel like there's this running joke online that I've been seeing, like from like corporate memes and stuff, that it's like, right, like once you hit like November 1st, right, you're kind of like flirting with the idea of Thanksgiving, at least here in the US, right? So you're kind of flirting with it, which means like basically by like November 10th, nobody really does anything anymore, you know, like everybody just kind of accepts the fact that the holidays are coming. So like, yeah, we're probably not going to get anything done until like the end of the year or like the start of the next year. But it's like, we have the World Cup that we got to deal with. So it's like, we still have to maintain that focus of like, oh, that's right, we got things coming up. We got a very important thing coming up soon enough.
It's weird though, right? Because you think like Thanksgiving, end of November, and then you're gonna have like the World Cup during Thanksgiving, but you also actually do have Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all those nice little mini holidays.
That's right.
And then you're gonna do like Christmas shopping while watching like World Cup games.
I know, it's
weird.
Gonna be insane, which even more so, Adrian, I'm very happy that we're together again, because I know your schedule is just gonna be insane starting.
I'm like mentally preparing myself for like waking up at midnight, because that's what it's going to come down to, like at least for 10 days. I'm trying to be optimistic, be like, it's only like 10 days, because after that, once it's like the final day of the group stage, everyone plays around 9 a.m central time and 1 p.m central time, which are pretty decent times. But yeah, like the first 10 days, I'm like, oh man, those 4 a.m games, and they're like 2 a.m games for you guys in the Pacific. So I'm struggling with just like making my peace with those like time schedules. Yeah,
and I'll also be traveling to Qatar, so it'll be an interesting time for just everything that's happening.
Yeah,
but speaking of Qatar, Adriana, something that happened today, actually, as we're recording Wednesday morning, the Federation, we so actually teased it on the Mexican Soccer Show, if you guys have listened to or were watching that live stream on Monday. There was an email sent out that they were going to do this little announcement today, Wednesday in the morning and everything. And I find it very funny that the Federation will release these press conferences, but it's really like literally just to announce. It's very much, this could have
perfect
been
adjective.
Like, it's just very much like this could have been an email vibes. Like, it's just like they, you know, but they make a whole spectacle of it, which I totally understand why they're doing it. But anyway, basically, point is, they had a press conference with no questions and no other things to announce a preliminary 31-man roster of players plus sparring players, which I thought was interesting, of essentially a roster that is going to be traveling to the Spain friendlies. So this is not the final 26, 26 are they on? 25?
Yeah, 26. Yeah,
26 man roster. But this is basically telling you these are the players we're still considering. So anybody else is not going to be considered. Obviously, a huge talking point is Chicharito. I don't really want to get into that right now. But Adriana, to you, what stood out from this press conference from the players that were called up? You know, the floor is yours.
I was actually amazed at how slowly he went out and said name by name, like Tata. It's like a 31 player list. And I mean, usually it would have taken like 2 minutes and like just naming them all. I think he took around seven.
It was a spectacle because they also, I don't know if you noticed at the very beginning of the press conference, they started the video like after he said the name. So there was like this weird, because he said the sparring players first. So I think he said, I forgot whose name he said first. And then he said like Emilio Lara. And as he's saying Emilio, there's like a huge blast of music that starts behind him. But it's because production hadn't started the adjacent video to it. So then he had to slow down his rate. So like, yeah, they would like, he would say the name and then they'd play the video and then he would say the next name. So yeah, it took a little bit, which makes it even funnier to me sometimes.
Yeah,
it wasn't
what I expected. I don't know. I'm really like, I'd like to see how other teams, I mean, again, it's not the final roster, but it's pretty close. I mean, it felt like it was the final roster because, you know, like Jimenez and Tecatito are like just, we're cautiously optimistic, but I think we're all secretly pessimistic regarding them. So then it's actually like 31 comes down to 29.
But then even that is just, it also feels like, I get it. Like, I definitely understand it, but I'm not going to lie. I was slightly shocked to see Tecatito's name there. Like, not because it wasn't, like you're saying, right, this justified thing that they keep kind of just making it linger until inevitably they're going to be like, oh no, he's still too injured to play. Never mind. He's not going to be the roster. But it's like, if we already know that that's what's going to happen, why even, I don't know. I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, really, like you're really going to linger this on forever. I mean,
yeah, agreed. You should just like waste your energy on another player that could actually make it to the World Cup in perfect conditions.
That's what I mean. Like, I didn't get that part. I was genuinely shocked to see Tecatito. I know Raul is a little bit more on the yes column while he's, even though he's very much skewering like in the middle, like it seems like pointing in either direction sometimes. But as far as the production and the presentation of it, I know that they're attempting to do this because I think once they get to Spain, like they have to, like it's not going to be as significant, I guess, because I know the US, I think Lizzie Bastarano, who works for 90 Minutes and she's been on the Mexican soccer show, she said that the US is having like a formal huge presentation like in New York or something, but that's when they announce their official like final roster, like for sure, like all the players that are definitely going to the World Cup. So I guess they tried to do something similar to that, but I'm like, I mean, I guess I kind of get it because you're not going to be able to do that in Spain or in Europe before you guys head to Qatar, but you didn't have any of the players here anyway. So it just felt
it fell short, like, to be honest. I mean, regarding the names, I mean, goalkeepers are set. We all sadly knew that Acevedo wasn't going to be on that list. And I agree with everyone complaining on social media. I can't understand why you wouldn't risk taking a younger goalkeeper as your third goalkeeper. He's not the starting goalkeeper. He's not the sub. But I definitely think he should have gone.
But do you think, and I'm not saying this like I know exactly what happens. Let's say for whatever reason, Tata had until, I don't know, Tuesday night, because they were probably still scrambling to get this thing rendered and processed, you know, on Premiere or something, their little production video. Let's say he had until like Tuesday night to finalize his roster, right? It's not true. I don't think Acevedo helped himself during this Liga run, though. Like, he was sad. I saw a lot of videos of him sad after they got eliminated, but he didn't have that great of a performance during this Liga. I mean, I'm not putting all the blame on him.
But I think it was still, I mean, his regular performances have been strong enough to consider him as a future prospect for the team. Again, because, I mean, it's a third goalkeeper. How many times do you actually need your third goalkeeper? It's actually just for him going, and I don't know, like getting the hang of it and making sure that you are taking into consideration for the next process and you have the experience just like behind you. And I just think it's a position where you can really appreciate and take a younger player and prepare him for the future.
True. And then, yeah. And then to kind of contradict myself, now I'm arguing with myself, you know, if Acevedo, it wasn't called, why was Cota called? Because he didn't even make the Liga. So I get it. But at the same time,
true.
I'm just like, yeah. I don't see it. Okay. Other players for you, Adrian?
I like the forwards. I think the striker position, I really don't worry about it, despite not having Raúl and Tecatito, understanding how much they can give the team when they're 100%. But they're not. And I don't think, again, we should be focusing on getting players that might make it to the World Cup, might probably won't. And if they do, they'll probably be in really poor condition. I mean, they're not going to join their clubs before they actually have to leave to join the national team either. So I just think it's too much of a risk. I think you're actually losing the possibility of seeing a player that could join the team in way better condition, despite maybe not having as much talent as those players when they're entirely fit. But I'd rather have a player that, yeah, probably not as talented, but 100% physically and probably 100% mentally, if you give him the opportunity, rather than have Raúl and Tecatito coming out of injuries, no playing time, probably nervous because they don't want to fall back into those injuries. So, I mean, I'd love for Chiquito to go, to be honest. I'm kind of rooting for him, and I'm rooting for Henry. I think he's had a spectacular year. I think he actually deserves to have those minutes. Not entirely sure if in a starting lineup, but maybe. I mean, I guess it depends on how we're doing in the group stage. I think Vega is probably your go-to player in case Raúl is on there, in case Tecatito isn't on there. Mm-hmm. I understand why you have Linus on the list. I think he's been really unlucky with his clubs. I mean, just after Betis and now with Sporting, he's slowly like dissolving into being a substitute again, which is really sad because I think we all had really high hopes for him in Europe. I think he started off a lot better on Betis than he's doing like currently. So I can't actually see him being 100% either for the World Cup. I know the talent's there. It's just like productivity, playing minutes, just regularity. So I don't see him have, I mean, it could be because of the injury. Maybe a spot shows like comes up with because of that. But honestly, I don't think he's 100% at this moment, sadly enough.
I mean, it's all about momentum, right? Like for me, it's, I think, and this is taking off my Americanista jersey, if you will, right? I think Henry Martin is in a beautiful spot despite the elimination.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Chivas fan. I'm rooting for Henry.
Like even on paper, right? I know it was disallowed. I know it was called offsides, but he scored. Like, he scored consistently throughout the course of the season, you know? And yeah. I think he's in a really good spot where, yeah, I think mentally in some capacity, that goal being disallowed and America being eliminated might affect him a little bit, but his performances have been absolutely amazing. Like, I am very, very impressed with the way that he's playing. And I didn't really think of it before the way that I did this season, but I do see him being a player with a lot of heart. And I don't feel like a lot of players on this roster, despite their talent, there are more talented players on this roster than Henry Martin. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, granted. Yeah.
But the heart that man has possessed for the last for the rest of the season, with America specifically, I know he's had his moments with the national team that have been questioning.
Yeah, makes up for any lack of talent or any. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just think that, alone, you know, if the elimination doesn't hit him too hard, like, I think he goes into this World Cup knowing that this is his moment. Like you said, maybe he's not a starter. Maybe he gets not too few minutes, but I think if he comes on as a sub, I think he knows how important this moment is, you know, if he ends up making the final roster. And I think he'll take full advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, great.
And to juxtapose that, you know, I didn't hear you say anything, but like, I get it, but I also don't understand Funes Mori's.
Oh, no, none of us understand. I think that's just like Tata being Tata and just being like, I don't know, just sticking to what he said and what he's done without actually realizing that it is a mistake.
Because I know that there's a huge underlining, like, without avoiding it, you know, like, xenophobic feeling towards him has always has been since he started joining the national team. And I remember him scoring, you know, in Pasadena, and, or not Pasadena, I think they played in LA the first time that he played with them, right? And just thinking like, okay, this is going to be good momentum, good for him. He's joined the national team, he's committed, blah, blah, blah. But you know, as like an inverse of Henry Martin, like just even the performances at a club level, it's been,
he scored against Real Madrid during the summer, which, by the way, we all thought America was going to do terribly during the season just because of the way they started off, and they had like the most difficult calendar possible.
Ironically enough, I still am of the, I'm now of the belief that those friendlies helped them. Like,
we all thought it was going to be like the worst decision. We were like, oh my God, they're throwing away the Liga MX tournament. They're not going to do well at all. They're going to be exhausted. It's not going to be worth it. They're just throwing away their season. And wow. I mean, yeah. I mean, until last week, I thought they were going to make it to the final. I was pretty sure they were going to make it to the
final. No, I haven't had a chance to talk about this, and I don't want to, I mean, I'll get into it in a different podcast. I think that they're a lot closer to overcoming that hurdle of not being a Liga team than they were two seasons ago. I do think that despite this downfall, Ortiz hasn't been a good place. I will say that, but I thought the Puebla game was too easy. I thought it was too easy. I did not. I did not feel them ready. And then, you know, that those mistakes happened and I didn't catch the second leg because I was at my brother's wedding. But like, I didn't, like, once they scored that first goal in the second leg, right? So what, at this point it was like 3-1 aggregate. I was like, yeah, no, they're done. Like, it's
yeah. Just,
like, I did there, but they're closer. I think next season they might do it, but I didn't believe them this season. I still didn't believe them.
So, like, other surprises on the roster. Anybody else that like caught your eye?
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I used to say it ironically, but now I really do mean it. Like Antuna, Antuna is all but like 14 days away from getting to Qatar. Like there's very few players that I have a chance to see like really develop as players. You know, there's probably more day ones that saw him at Man City possibly, or like at Santos. You know, I'm not going to put myself in their place, those hipsters, but to see this man go from LA Galaxy to Chivas to Cruz Azul and then like consistently make his way to the national team, you know, scoring his, he didn't get a hat trick, right? No, he scored in that Gold Cup. Like, I just can't understand how this man has made his way to Qatar. Like, I would like to have a career trajectory the same way Antuna has, but it also feels like very worrying about like this roster that's going to Qatar, you know, like that Antuna of all players, he is a good player, he's not a bad player, but to see that he potentially can make the final roster is a little bit
like worrisome,
symbolic of the, you know, just like the depth or lack of that this team has. And it's, I don't know, I mean, and there's five players that are going to be cut, that's for sure. Diana, I don't know if Antuna's one of them. That's the other part that's worrying, right? He is going to be able to say he went to a World Cup, which is crazy to me. Like, it's both very interesting but also very worrying. But I mean, Adriana, right now, if you are given the keys, metaphorically speaking, to the national team with these players and they say you gotta cut five, who are you cutting?
I'll cut seven if you allow Chicharito to come on.
She's like, I'll get rid of two more, just let me
make up for it or somehow. Okay, I'm cutting Raul and Tecatito. I don't think they'll be ready. They might be out of their injuries, they might be like, yeah, they just might be healthy. I just don't think they'll be fit. So I'm counting those out. Three goalkeepers. Yeah, and I don't agree with the third one, but yeah, that's just how things are. Defense. I'd probably say, I don't know why I think Arteaga is like on that like really slim position. I don't know why I think Arteaga is not as strong as we all think he might be on that squad. So that's three.
He's also a very rocky player for Tata.
I
was like positively surprised to see him on. Like, I was like, good for him, you know, like I feel like that would be a good motivation for him. But I feel like outside of his performance, I just feel like he's on the cusp for Tata.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just don't think he's been that much of a regular player. Like, I don't know. So I think it's so again, it's Raul, it's Tecatito, it's Arteaga. Okay, I think Linus won't be on there.
What?
I mean, I think I would cut him. I think because of the injuries, okay, he might okay. make it on there, but okay. I wouldn't include him. And then yeah, I mean, it's sad. I really think
you can make a difference for the roster.
I just don't think, yeah, the momentum's there. I know the talent is, but I like every single weekend when we look at how the Mexicans did abroad, every time he does worse, he appears less and less with Braga. I mean, he should be in the starting lineup every weekend with like a Portuguese team, to be honest.
My only argument here is that, but like on the national team, he does show up. Like he does.
True.
Like he has scored some important goals. So I feel like I wouldn't, like not Mia Stata, Mia's Amy, who suddenly has a ring national team. Like I would leave him there. Like I need that spark. I need that fire to just exist. True. Okay. So now hold on. Now I'm kind of worried. Okay. So you have four. You took off Tecatito.
Yeah. I'm thinking Raul, if it's like
Raul, Arteaga, Lainez. So that means you're gonna leave. You're either gonna leave Antuna, Romo, or Funes Mori.
I was actually thinking Romo might be off the list.
So that means you kept Antuna, and you.
I mean, I don't want to keep Funes Mori, but it's like pushing me there. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I would cut Funes Mori, but again, I would take on Chicharito, so that you could like sub like little player play, like. But seeing as though that is impossible, and I'd be out of strikers. I mean, yeah, so
you take off Romo though.
I think I might take Romo because I think there's sufficient players that have that, like, could actually execute that position pretty well.
Yeah.
Because if it were like because of performance, Herrera shouldn't be on there. I am so sorry. Oh, I know he's been our best player for years. He is not like in his best place either.
I have never felt so discouraged. not even disappointed, like discouraged by a player the way I feel about Herrera as of late, just because I get it, he was kind of injured, but even seeing him during the farewell tournament or the send-off series, sorry, that's what it's called, here in California, in Santa Clara and in Pasadena, I don't know, that like even his demeanor, and this is all speculation, like he never said anything that was wrong, he gave the right answer, so to speak, you know, like when he would talk during media day, but it was like the demeanor, like this is a purely personal opinion, like I just felt like I don't feel like this person is ready, I do not feel confident for this player who Tata has spoken so much about as being the best player for the national team, like I do not see it. And that
Like the thing is, if these players were as good as their best versions, this would be a killer team, because we have seen an amazing Romo, like before Monterrey. We have seen a spectacular Héctor Herrera. We've seen Diego Lainez at his best as well. It's just that you have so many of them that aren't in that position right now. And that really sucks, to be honest, as a fan.
That's actually a very perfect way of saying it. Like that. Yeah. Like these, like in theory, this is a very good team. Yeah. But in reality, it's not, because we don't feel one, you know, unfortunately speaking, you know, we don't have a system really, right? So there's no clear, like, what are we going to do at the World Cup? And then of course, like a lot of these players are they fluctuated. You have two of them, like you just mentioned, there's two of them that are literally too injured that we don't even know if they're going to play.
Yeah. I mean, if it were because of current performances, you would cut so many more players. I mean, you would cut Funes Mori. You would cut, I mean, obviously Tecatito and Jimenez because of injuries. You would probably cut Herrera. You would cut Lainez. You could I think Romo.
I'm going to disagree with you on the Lainez one. I just feel like, I don't feel like even you would cut him. Like, I don't know. I don't see it. Like, I don't know. Charlie too. Like, we've seen a good version of Charlie, but
yeah,
he's not been great.
Yeah. Same thing with Araujo. I think he's done a lot better, to be honest. He's done okay with America, but I think it's just been bad. I think it's been okay. Moreno, I think Moreno, it's not actually that he's done poorly. I just think probably, like, I don't even know how old he is. I want to say age is getting to him, but he might not be that old. I just think he's like going downhill at this moment. I mean, he peaked and then he's going, yeah, he's 34. So yeah, for a player,
I think that's the other thing too, when it comes to, right? Like Herrera should be a veteran player that is going to be here to motivate the young.
Yeah.
You know? And I think several of like our colleagues on the Mexican Talking Show have said it a few times too, right? Like the transition here doesn't feel very cohesive. It doesn't feel like the young.
You don't feel it. Doesn't feel at all. It's not there.
No, but it's very interesting to me because, you know, like I often look at it, I look at it now because during the media day, Guardado was talked about guiding the youth, right? Guiding these young players, these Santis, you know, these lineups, yeah. All this stuff, and he said something very interesting that I don't think I've talked on. Error, like said anything on a pod where he talked about it's not his generation's kind of like upbringing or development, right? Because he says for me Rafa Márquez was my hero, right? He was yeah, my
like
hero.
His mentors,
his yeah, mentor yeah. And everything, and he said I cannot and would not guide players the way that Rafa guided me because it's a different time. Because the way that these players process and reciprocate to what we do is very, very different. And I was like, and I had never thought of it that way. I'd never seen it in that way. But at the same time, like you said, I don't even really see it happening. Like, I don't even see this level of like, yes, this is my superior and this is who I'm going to respect. Like, it comes down
to the fact that we don't even like, we're used to having really strong players as captains. And sadly enough, I don't think Ochoa is bad. I think Guardado is bad. I think Herrera is bad. And they're probably going to be captains. But they're not like the strong-willed, strong-minded players we're used to. You're used to seeing a Rafa Márquez with that leadership position. You're used to seeing Torrado with that leadership position, Osvaldo, Cuauhtémoc. And then you look over and you're like, oh man, you need that player. You need
in some yeah. capacity, you could even say he wasn't necessarily like a direct leader, but like Chicharito too, right? He was a very commanding personality.
Yeah. Yeah, like a lightning rod for the team as well. Just like getting all that like positive or negative feedback sometimes and speaking out and just making sure players come in together and I don't know, get the job done. But yeah. Now it's like, I mean, I know they're the captains. I know they're the leaders, but there's just like a different type of leader. And I don't know if that's only what we need. I do think you need someone in that position, but you also need someone, I think, that's like can come forward and make those really tough calls at some point and call out players when they're not playing well, stuff like that. I'm not sure Guardado can do it. I don't know if Ochoa can do it either.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's a very one positive thing that we didn't touch on that I just briefly mentioned at the very beginning is the sparring teams aspect. Has this ever happened before, Adriana? I don't think I've ever seen this before.
I don't know. Not that. I mean, I do remember some players coming on, but not abroad. I do remember sometimes when they're at the CAR and they'll have practice, usually there'll be another national team practicing there as well for any other tournament or just because they had some dates and they had to come in to I don't know, the U20s, U17s and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they would come in and obviously they could have friendlies and anything like that. But I can't remember last time it happened abroad and with these many players.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. I mean, it's kind of cool to see Lara there. I think he had a really fantastic tournament despite America's elimination. You know, you have someone like Roman Martinez. You know,
Rubalcaba. I mean, you have two players coming in from second division. I thought that was pretty interesting as well. Yeah, I mean, you have Ali Avila from Rayados, and then there's Alfredo Gutierrez also from Rayados. I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, yeah, we criticize that enormously for so many reasons, but I mean, I'm happy to see that there's like some knowledge of players coming in from second division teams, U20 teams. I think that's probably like a good positive thing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think my only criticism there would be it's cool to see this happening for sure. Mm-hmm. But then it also makes you wonder about all the other young players that he had called for like friendlies and stuff that didn't get called to this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had a few messages from like people like what happened to Julian Araujo. I mean, I get it. Julian didn't have the greatest end of the season. I thought his performance against LAFC wasn't that great.
Efrain Álvarez,
you know, Marcelo Flores, a lot of speculation there and stuff. Like I think that's just like some level of criticism, you know, like it goes back to this kind of theme of like, okay, what was your decision making here? Why did you do this? Why did you start conversations here? you know, it was it, that's part of the lingering aspect of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, because some of them actually are available. I mean, he could have called them up already. They're not playing anymore. Maybe like regarding Marcelo, because European teams are going to let them go so late during the month. So maybe I'm guessing it has to do with that. That's why you can't call up so many players from abroad, just because their teams are going to let them go like November 10th or something.
Yeah, but.
But I mean, still, I get your point. And it's pretty valid. I mean, some players are available and he still didn't call them up. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see. We'll see. We said we were going to make this quick and then we went. It's okay. It was a rant. It's a quick 25 minutes about the national team. It's coming up soon. But anyway, we'll deal with the national team as we get on. If you guys want to hear about more stuff, I highly recommend, obviously, our like sister brother podcast, the Mexican Soccer Show, where Wiso and Cesar are over there talking good stuff about the national team. But anyway, that's enough about Mexico and Qatar. Then let's get into the real fun stuff that we were looking forward to recording this podcast. Liga MX Femenil Liguilla playoffs are coming up actually tomorrow. They start tomorrow. Let's just get right into it. You know, we got Chivas versus Cruz Azul to kick everything off tomorrow in the Idas. We got Pachuca versus Rayadas, Toluca versus Tigres, and Cholos versus America. Just so everybody is aware, the standings for the end of the season ended up with Chivas in first place, Rayadas in second, Tigres in third, America in fourth, Cholos in fifth, Toluca in sixth, Pachuca in seventh, and Cruz Azul in eighth. Adriana, before I get into each game, your overall thoughts with how the standings ended up to close out the season?
I mean, per Liga MX Femenil tradition, you had like top four teams qualified like weeks ago. and it usually comes down to those last like six, seven, eighth place positions just to make it to a Liguilla by like week 17. I'm really happy to see some of the teams on there. I'm really happy that we're consistently now seeing Cholos being part of the Liguilla, which they were at the beginning, and then they kind of got lost within so many changes and losing players. And now they're constantly making it back to Liguilla, which I'm really happy for. Toluca, also one of those teams that had like a roller coaster ride throughout several seasons and is also back. Pachuca is just that team we are all secretly rooting for, because the institution, the club, has actually supported the women's team so much since the beginning.
It is
they deserve a championship at some point. And then, I mean, those last positions between Cruz Azul, Pumas, and Atlas at the end, it's just so difficult, because, I mean, we'd love to see all, you know, the big teams in the Liguilla. You probably want to see Atlas, which has also been a really interesting project for the Femenil throughout all these seasons, on there as well. But you also, I mean, I'm really happy when we see like a team like Cruz Azul, who has really struggled with some seasons and has really like has at the edge of our seat at the end of the season, like, oh my God, they're going to make it. And then they just won't because of a point or two. So, I mean, it's exciting. I think I like the combination. I like how the teams ended up. Obviously for first, second, third and fourth place are so strong. I mean, we constantly see them. They are like the grandes, right? For the Femenil. And it's going to be really difficult to think that any like Cholos, Toluca, Pachuca, or Cruz Azul could actually surprise them and make it through the semifinals, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's get into it. We got our first game of the Ida, of the first legs, right? We got Cruz Azul versus Chivas starting it off tomorrow, Thursday, October 27th. I don't know why I said the date. You guys know what tomorrow is. But we've got first place Chivas against eighth place Cruz Azul. And it's worth noting that they just faced each other to close out the regular season for Jornada 17. And Chivas came out on top with a 3-0 victory over Cruz Azul. And the return of Licha after being injured. She scored two goals, I believe. Or just one? Two? I should have checked. But, I mean, so they've already faced each other. We have a very fresh, kind of analysis of this.
And that usually happens. Have you noticed it's really common to have like, you have like, I don't know, Clásico Regio week 17 or 16, and then they'll face each other again, like in Liguilla. It's like,
I feel like, don't they usually close? I think this is the first time they didn't close out the seasons with some sort of Clásicos. I know we sometimes get Chivas Tigres to close it out, but they gave us that earlier. Or sometimes they give us the Clásicos at the very end, but this is, I think this, I don't know, somebody would have to check or let us know. I think this is the first time in recent times that it's like, by the way, the team you just faced, you're facing again twice. But I don't know. I mean, is there anything that Cruz Azul could do to over? I mean, a lot of people thought that Pumas was going to be an easy ride, and that was a little tricky for Chivas to overcome. So do you feel like that might be the case this time, or should Chivas just start getting mentally prepared for the semifinal?
I think, I mean, no, I think the biggest mistake Chivas could do is just be overconfident. I think any of these teams, that's probably their biggest challenge, is not to be overconfident and make sure that they're just keeping their cool, disregarding whoever they're facing for quarterfinals. I do think Chivas is in that position. I know, I'm pretty sure they know how strong they are and that they're clear favorites to beat Cruz Azul, but still, I don't think they're taking it for granted, which is a great plus because, I mean, yeah, Cruz Azul could give them a scare. I don't think it'll be such a huge scare, but still, I mean, they could complicate things a bit just precisely because they know that Chivas is coming on as a favorite for this game. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough for Chivas, for Cruz Azul, because despite the fact that they weren't such a terrible defense, to be honest, they were fifth place in defense, but they were also, they were one of the worst, they had one of the best, one of the worst attacks. I mean, they only scored 16 times during the season, just over Querétaro, Mazatlán, and Necaxa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your attack isn't that as strong as it should be for a team that's making it to quarterfinals. But, I mean, yeah, defense could complicate things a bit for Chivas.
I feel like Cruz Azul, for the last, I don't know, maybe like 3-4 seasons, has always been this team that, like, in theory, has a really good attacking potential. And then just, like, it kind of, like, fizzles. Like, it just doesn't quite work out. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I will say, I do see this as a very fortunate circumstance. I mean, not fortunate, because I think it comes out of hard work, obviously, for placing where you placed for, you know, the end of the season. But I think Chivas is in a good position despite them also having faults throughout the season. I mean, they got 14 wins, one draw, only two losses the entire season. But I think those two losses did come to hurt them in a very strong way. You know, like, it was a very, very rude awakening, those two losses. So I feel like while they are first place, and I'm not saying I doubt them, I'm not trying to be that pundit or anything, I do think that they're a team that deals with some level of adversity a lot. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had to learn to adjust, you know, sometimes with players and how they're supposed to work around it. You know, I think mental hurdles have also affected, but have been resolved with their offense. So I think that, like you said, I don't think they should get too overconfident, but I don't think they'll get too overconfident because they have had to deal with different types of adversities at different points in time. You know, a lot of people like to claim that their only, you know, kind of like cornerstone is Licha, but she's been injured on and off this season, and they were still able to be the winningest team, or, you know, they're still able to be the first place team. So I think that they've had to learn to deal with that adversity. I don't know half the time what Pato is doing, but it's working. If it's not broken, do not try to fix it. I think half the time he's also like, I'm just happy that we're here, but it's working out for him. So I do think that this is a game that, or this is a series that should go to Chivas without question, but this is where you kind of adjust. And as you look forward to the semifinal, you know, you're kind of like polishing out any loose ends that you have with your team.
Yeah, agreed. And you do have like more experienced players on Cruz Azul now than you usually had for previous Liguilla games that they've had. So, I mean, you do have someone like Mariandra Sanchez. You do have someone like, I mean, Dalia Molina has been on the league for years. I think she was there since the beginning. And she's been so young, but yet, I mean, she's been through several teams as well, but I mean, that experience counts when you make it to Liguilla as well. So, I mean, you do have those like those little nuggets of good news for Cruz Azul, despite coming in that last position. So hopefully it'll be an interesting game, despite the fact that we know Chivas comes on as a favorite.
Yeah. Also, I think Cruz Azul was burdened with having to face Tigres the last time around they were in the Liguilla too, huh? So, I mean, I think with Cruz Azul, they just need to keep trying to not start from scratch, but just keep developing from a place that they go. But they always get they always get hit with unfortunate circumstances. So okay, I mean, Chivas heading is the winner of that series. Yes, we're gonna claim it. Okay, no offense to Cruz Azul, it's just it is.
What we hope. I mean, I really hope they do better. Like, I mean, I wish they qualify in a better position. That way, they wouldn't face first place. They could face someone in third and kind of make their way up.
If they were to face a third place team, they would face Tigres. So maybe.
Oh, damn. Okay.
You know, the goal for next season, Cruz, so just get first place.
Yeah, just keep it in mind. Just make sure that happens next season.
I just feel like that should be the game plan. Yeah. Going into the next matches on Friday, the 28th, first match is going to be between Pachuca and Rayadas. We've got second place Rayadas facing seventh place Pachuca. This for me feels like it could be fun. But I also, as we keep talking about, you know, I know that at different points throughout the season, it could have been Rayadas or Chivas that would have been in first place. But Chivas mm-hmm. ended up on top. But I do think Rayadas has been a very, very good team under Eva Espejo. That is a team that is developing.
Solid, yeah.
That is developing. That team is. She won the tournament. What was it? It was her first season? No. Was it her first season?
It was. I think it was the second, right? The one where they faced Tigres and they went to penalty kicks.
Yes. That was her second season with the team.
2021. Yep.
Yes. That was last year. Yeah. She won that with a team that wasn't fully formed. Now I feel like her team is much more solid, much stronger. And granted, they're in second place, but I think depending on what team shows up, I mean, they just went and absolutely obliterated Santos 4-0 to end off the regular season. You know, Berkey is the second place in the Golden Boot race. Like, I think this could go to Rayadas. Not easily, but I think obviously as the higher team, it would go to them. But I do think Pachuca is a very special type of team where this could be a very fun head-to-head if they're both at their peak performances.
Yeah, agreed. I think this is, it doesn't seem as though a second place is facing a seventh place.
No, you know? Not at all.
Not at all. It just seems as though they're like coming in probably with really similar conditions. I mean, it doesn't really seem as there's a huge difference between the squads, between the experience, between key players. You look at the squad Monterrey and it's like, wow, who's a sub on this team? Like, who could actually be not be in the starting lineup? But I mean, looking at Pachuca, it's also a team that sadly enough hasn't had a Liga MX Femenil championship, but they should have. I mean, if it's just been a combination of some changes within the team sometimes that we were kind of unexpected, losing key players, but as a project, I mean, it's probably one of like the most solid ones we've seen in the MX Femenil ever, like since 2017.
I think they are a very good team. I think they're just scratching the surface with their potential. I mean, obviously Charlene isn't a fantastic player, a huge asset for them. And is, you know, and as she gets more players around her that will support her, I think that'll be a very strong thing. Like you said, I think there's already players there, but I agree. I don't think this is a second place team versus a seventh place team. I think this could be a really fun series, but I do see it a little bit more in favor of Rayadas just because Eva Espejo, I feel like, really knows her team at this point and really knows and really has expectations that they meet a lot of the time.
Yeah, agreed. I think, Rayal's coming in as a favorite. I just don't think it'll be easy.
I hope it's not easy. I could see it being easy in some respects, but I don't think, I hope, and I don't think it will be easy.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, for what it's worth, despite Pachuca finishing in seven, this is also a team that made their way to the final last season. So they've been here before and they know what they're able to do. So I think that might also show up during the league. Yeah. And you know, the flip will switch and it'll be a fun series. So I'm very, very interested to see how that works out. Going into the second game on Friday, we have Toluca versus Tigres. Tigres ends in third place. Toluca ends in sixth. How did you see Tigres' overall performance this season, Adrian?
It was kind of irregular, wasn't it?
It was a very
I think we've said odd, like, performance for Tigres.
I always find it funny. You've said this before on the pod where like Thieves ended in third place. I don't think they've ever finished, I don't know, below fourth.
Second?
Like no. Second, maybe, right? Like
maybe so like first season when like Liguilla was actually like straight to semifinals. Remember? Maybe that, like, probably that's like year, maybe.
I remember, but there was like, yeah, one season, I don't know, maybe like a year ago or something, where they were like in second place and we're like, what's going on with you guys?
We're worried. People like, what's happening?
What's going on here? But in that same sense, like, I do think a third place performance, granted Chivas being a good team, Rayadas being a good team, is an indication of like, you know, like they're still treading the waters. But also a very solid ending to their regular season, a 5-2 victory over Xolos. And Mia Fischel, who is a TMJ athlete, so I have to kind of put it out there, congratulations, she is the Golden Boot winner for the regular season. The first
I was happy to see someone new with the Golden Boot, to be honest.
The first foreign player.
I thought it was Brick and Rhodes. Yeah,
it was very close. It was very, very close towards that end of the night on Monday, because I think Birkenro got her goal like at the end, right? She got the final support goal. So it was very
close. I think it was last minute. Yeah, it was really, really close.
It's very, very close. But I mean, Tigres is the favorite in this matchup, like without a doubt. But I will say, we talk about this sometimes. We don't like to compare the men's and the women's at all. But I do think some of that Toluca essence can permeate over to the women's side, just because the team is in a good place right now because of what the men have been capable of doing as they make their way to the final. So I would like to believe that Toluca's fans will show up for that home game on Friday.
Yeah, I hope they do. I hope that like brings that momentum. And I mean, we've seen it several times. We saw it with America one time when men and women got the championship, right? I think that happened 4 years ago. Oh, yeah, like 4 years ago, probably. And then, I mean, we've seen it with Chivas. We thought last season was going to be good for the men and it was way better for the women. But usually when that happens, when they're both playing the ES at the same time and doing fairly well, it usually brings fans along because the entire club is doing well. It's not only one of the teams, but actually like the entire club seems to be doing well. So hopefully we'll see that with Toluca. That would be really interesting to see some of that support make it to the women as well.
I also want to see, just so it'll just make the series more interesting. Like, yeah. I think if you have that home field advantage for the ida, for that first leg, it could put some pressure on Tigres because you're going back to the Uni for the second leg. And that is, if you're going to talk about home field advantage,
that's just scary. Yeah.
There's just nothing quite like the Uni when, you know, Tigres Femenil is playing in the Liguilla. Like their fans show up. It's a fantastic atmosphere. I've been there plenty of times and it's a good time and everything. So I think just to make it interesting, I think Toluca needs to have some type of like extra support that night, or else, I mean, Tigres is Tigres.
Oh, it's killer. Yeah, Tigres is a home team. It's just, there's nothing like it.
Although I will say, despite them winning 5-2 against Xolos, it was very interesting. And like you said, like in terms of the fluctuating aspects of the season, it has been very interesting to see teams score on them the way that they've scored on them. Because it wasn't always... There's a whole discussion. It's not to say that, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Tigres is a very strong team. I feel like they always will be. The investments there, the, you know, the support is there. Everything is there for them to have a good team. It attracts good players and everything. And the league is also growing in that respect. So the other teams are getting good players as well. So it's not to say like, oh, Tigres' defense is bad. No, I think there's a very interesting thing happening now, where the talents just in general within the league are growing. So I think Tigres is being more challenged defensively. So it, in that sense, it has been interesting to see them concede goals the way they have throughout the season. And so it'll be interesting to see if Toluca is able to kind of capitalize on that potentially during that first leg.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I don't know what it is with Tigres. I'm not sure if it's like they're trying to evolve and that's why they haven't been as dominant as other seasons, because you look at the squad and it's pretty much the same. And you have some like players come in and some of them leave, but not as many as you'd think. So I don't know if it's actually them trying to like step out of their comfort zone and do things a bit differently. And that could cost them some of the goals that we'd rarely see against Tigres.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as predictions Tigres coming out of the series into the semifinal.
Yeah, Tigres coming out of it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I mean, best of luck to Toluca. I think Toluca, it's always fun to see a different, you know, like we said, the top four are always kind of solidified. But when you see that fight for the bottom four, you know, 5 through 8, it's always fun to see who makes it out. And I think it's cool to see Toluca make it and to mm-hmm. you know, kind of end in sixth place. That's pretty cool. So
yeah, I agree.
We'll see what happens there. Ending out the quarterfinals is going to be Xolos versus Club America. For me, this is the most leveled of all the teams. This feels like it could go either way. Like, I think that it could go either way because of the differences in strength that the teams have. America has been a very, very good offensive team. They have, like, it's been incredible to watch them. And then Xolos also has a strong offensive team, not quite as strong as America's, but I think Xolos is very good at like closing up the space to mm-hmm. certain teams that they complicate it for the offense at times.
Yeah, and I think America probably lost some momentum along the tournament just because of like what was going on outside of the field, of the pitch. I mean, you had the whole Katy Martinez situation coming in, Renata, those kind of things distract them, particularly a team with like America that has everyone looking into what's going on with them. So I think that could have probably cost them like some points at during the season, just because, I mean, it gets to you, right? You're used to being the tough team, the one that everyone's looking into, always trying to make those first three positions. So I guess they kind of like maybe like had some bumps during the season, but other than that, yeah, they're like really solid squad. Really eager to see some of these players coming in for their first Liguillas as well. I mean, we finally have seen Alison constantly with the team after coming into America with an injury, and we just saw her like months later. I mean, Katy slowly also becoming that like Katy, as strong a Katy as she was with Tigres, right, as well, despite the fact that everything that went on with Villacampa. So, I mean, it's interesting to see this project and see just how far it can make it, because we've seen so many players evolve, national team come in, come out. We're seeing many more foreign players making it to the team as well, bringing in that experience with the team, adjusting to a new coach. So it's interesting. It's going to be really cool to see how far America makes it as well with all these players that are getting their first league experience.
Yeah, it'd also be interesting because Xolos has, funny enough, ironically enough, right? Xolos will have to be without their goalkeeper, who is now at Club America, who is a fantastic goalkeeper. But I will say, despite that, I think their goalkeeping options have done a fantastic job. You know, I think Sienna Relas coming in from Puebla has been on the podcast a few times. I think she's had some really good performances over at Xolos. I think it's always an interesting time to go to the Estadio Caliente. I've been there a few times for these first round liguillas, and I do think it gets a little bit complicated for the teams that come visit. So I think they're going to have a little bit of a home field advantage, just because this particular time, you know, the Apertura season, it is a little bit colder. You know, you are in the open space, like it just feels kind of uncomfortable, And so I think that might be an advantage, you know, just like a home advantage environment-wise for Xolos that they can kind of capitalize on. But then they're going to have to travel to the Azteca, and that'll be interesting for them to have to deal with. So if you had two, Adriana, who are you? Who's advancing from this?
Oh, man, I'd like to see Xolos, but I think it's going to be America.
I'd probably have to go with America too.
Yeah, slightly. I can't see Xolos making it. I can't see Xolos surprising them, to be honest. I mean, it is possible. It seems doable.
I could see the first leg ending in like a 1-1, 0-0 draw. Like I could see that happening, but I think going back home, I think America closes it out for the series.
Yeah. It might come down to that first game.
Yeah. That'll all depend on Xolos, on what Xolos can do.
True.
At home. So yeah, I'd have to say America. So then in that case, we technically have all the top four teams advanced to the next round. We don't have any
surprises. No. We usually don't.
No, that's a, no. Yeah.
If we do, we'd have a we had both Clásicos again for semifinals.
Oh, would we really? I hadn't checked the table.
Yep.
Always fun. That would be interesting.
Always fun, yeah.
But that would also mean we don't have a Regio final.
Yeah, that would be even better. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've skipped a few, but still, we just have to avoid that. Just keep on going with that. That doesn't matter. We'll see them in semifinals anyway. So yeah.
Although I will say, like, I think Pachuca and Rayadas can go head to head. Like, I can see that going either way, depending, like we just talked about. But and I think Pachuca might have a slight chip on their shoulder because they're coming. I think they're the only team going into Liguilla. Oh no, Cruz Azul as well. So aside from Cruz Azul, they also suffered a loss in their final game of the regular season. They lost to Mazatlán. They lost 3-1 to Mazatlán. So they might be coming in with a slight chip on their shoulder and want to redeem themselves. So that'll be interesting. Be interesting to see. Before I get into the questions from our lovely people on Twitter that sent us questions, outside of the top eight, Adriana, who for you was the biggest disappointment of the Liga MX mini season?
I mean, they were close, but I think Atlas was probably my biggest disappointment. I just think as a project, as a whole, just looking everything they've been through every season, it's just one of those teams that really shouldn't struggle to make it to Liguilla. They have the experience, they have the players, they have the talent. They really shouldn't be out of the top eight, to be honest. I do think it's a letdown not to make it, being as close as they were. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Atlas.
I will slightly be connected to you, and I will say, for me, and it's solely because of the goal, because of the coach, I would say it's San Luis. I felt like they could have done better because of Samayo.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's my criteria for why I think they're the most disappointing, because I think Samayoa was brought in to create a project. Now it's only his first season, so we'll see what happens in going into the second season. Maybe he signs some players and, you know, something changes. But I think he could have done better. Like, I'm sure he has his excuses. You know, I understand that there's some teams that, you know, it's a work in progress, but I feel like he could have done more with that team.
True. I think we all expected more just because of his experience. He could probably push the team a little bit better.
Yep, 100%. Alrighty, we're getting to the final end of this. Adriana, I will go ahead and send you the questions, and I will give you the chance to answer them as a lightning round. And if I have anything to add, I will go ahead and add it as necessary. The first question comes from our good friend Sky over at the Shea Butter Podcast. Follow her at Sky5Football. She says, who do you see winning it all?
Chivas.
Okay. Really? Okay. Yeah, Chivas. Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think could be an upset or a surprise?
Pachuca.
As an upset or as a surprise?
As a surprise.
Who is the upset?
Monterrey.
Okay. Who may set it off on a whole other level? This one, this question, like, who's going to, like, completely just, like, turn?
Blow us away?
Yes.
Wow. Cholos.
Ooh. Okay. I'm not entering that. I'm leaving you to that. All right. The next one comes from Maria Etzel at Maria Huirtareo. I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that correctly. She said, if Licha Cervantes hadn't gotten hurt during the selección friendlies, do you think she would have been up there with Fischel and Berkey fighting for the golden boot?
Oh, definitely.
You think so? I feel like this is
she might not have won it, but she would, like, it would have been like a last jornada, okay, kind of thing.
Okay, I get what her question asked. So yes and no. Like, I feel like maybe if she hadn't got injured, would she have scored more goals? If that's the question, yes. If the question is, would she have been competing with Mia and Berkey? I would say no, but I say it because I think that she did everything she needed to do last season. I don't think she cares. Not that she doesn't care. She always seems like she wants to be on the field and playing. But I feel like she did everything she needed to do last season, that, like, we shouldn't expect her to try to win the Golden Boot again. It'd be dope if she did it. But I'm happy Mia did it. But like she already did everything she needed to do. She literally checked off everything. She had a perfect season last season. Like we don't need to expect Lee Chadwick to win ever again.
I think she might not have won it, but she would have been up there. I mean, she would have been in like third place, maybe, like fighting Christina for second place, maybe.
Got it. Okay, then we have a new listener from Cesar Hernandez at Football, who asked us, should Berkey get a call up from Mexico or the US?
Ooh. Awesome question. Yeah, she should.
From either one, or who would you have her get called for?
No, she should be called up from Mexico, definitely.
I am also of the opinion, you know what? Mexico is in a good, I mean, they're in a similar position that I said even under Monica Vergara. Like, they're in a position where they have so many options now. Just use them and see what works. And true. Mm-hmm. I think Berkey is one of those that should go to Mexico. I don't think.
Yeah. And I mean, I know Charlene was on there, and we're all really happy for that. But sometimes I just think we're way too dependent on Stephanie, and I don't know. I don't think that's good for anybody. So if we had all those different choices, if Christina was on there, Charlene was on there, Stephanie was on there, I just think it would be healthier for the group in general, because we struggled enormously during the CONCACAF qualifiers. But I also think there was a huge dependency on what Stephanie could do. So I think that just pressure
which in my opinion, unfortunately, didn't live up to the expectation.
Oh yeah, no, totally. It was a bust. but I do think you need some other players that have proven and just raised their hand throughout the season, and you should give them that opportunity. So definitely, definitely, Christina should be on there.
For sure. Next question is from The Index, interesting name, at @little_chara. Cool. Okay. So who asked, Mia Fischel is the top goal scorer of the tournament. Will she continue to get snubbed by the U.S. women's national team? We don't know that. We're not mind readers. We hope not. Has she finally proved herself worthy for a call-up, or what else does it take? I will slightly start to answer this question, because I need to preface this by saying, obviously, I work for the agency that represents her. So anything that comes out of my mouth is my opinion and my opinion only. I was a little bit offline when the discourse happened between, you know, the Liga MX Femenil not being a quote unquote top team, or whatever it was that Blako said. I'm kind of paraphrasing at this point. But if a player is scoring goals, regardless of where she's playing, she deserves a call up. Even if she wasn't represented by my agency, or, you know, I've worked with her. She's a fantastic player. She's very dedicated to her craft 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, those things are noteworthy, regardless of any loyalties or any national team. If a player is playing good, they deserve to get called up. It's not at this point, like, for me, the discussion isn't even about like the playing time, which is also deserved in my opinion, right? But it's like Henry Martin, you know, if a player is playing good, they deserve to get called up.
I was just thinking that if we were just saying that Henry Martin deserves to be in the starting lineup for the World Cup because of how well he's done, and understanding that there are other players that are very talented but are just not there with the momentum, with the position, with the performances. Same thing goes for Mia. I mean, she's proven that. She's raised her hand. She's consistently been up there. She's performing well. So why not?
It's very similar to, again, if we're going to look, and this is not my opinion, this is more of like what the perspective and the lens of the discourse has become, right? If you're going to look at like MLS, right? People like to compare the MLS Liga MX discourse, you know, Chicharito scoring a bunch of goals, and a lot of people were calling for him to be called up to the national team. I think just off of the paper, like logic, that does make sense. That 100% makes sense. So why wouldn't the same be applied to a player that's playing really well? And then there's a lot of discourse for me from not from an agency perspective, just from an objective perspective, right? This is a player that's gone through the collegiate system, that understands the aspects of the soccer that her national team wants to play, the programs, everything in that aspect. She was bred and groomed through, sorry, Portuguese words. She was developed from a U.S. soccer system. She just happened to want to come play professionally in a different league, and yet she's still scoring goals and has now been named the top goal scorer. You know, like, she literally has the best of both worlds. So that is my opinion on that. Other than, you have anything else to say?
No, I agree totally. I think any player that's performing well, disregarding the league, should deserve an opportunity. Whether that opportunity is enough to make sure that you're in the starting lineup, you're in a tournament, you're called up for a World Cup, I think it's totally different. But at least the opportunity to be seen during a camp, I think that's enough.
Yep, 100%. I spoke really fast there. I did a real Gilmore Girls thing there. It's not because I wanted to like talk too fast. It's because we use the poor version of Zoom and we have just a few minutes left on this thing.
You're Lorelai Gilmore incarnate.
That's a very, very, what a compliment there, Adriana. Adriana, as always, we get through tons of topics. We get through them fast. We speak so fast, but we speak so true. It was very nice to have you. Any last words to our listeners in our return to the AR Football Podcast?
No, just happy to be back. Hope that like whatever hectic calendar schedule we have for the following weeks allows us to have some minutes and just make it back quickly with Liguilla, with what happens with these quarterfinals, semifinals. And I mean, yeah, keep up with the conversation. It's amazing to see the community keep on going and just consistently being on. Like, you could have a World Cup, you could have qualifiers, you could have rain, hail, storm, whatever, and the community is still there. So that's pretty awesome too. And I'm really happy to be part of it.
100%. I mean, we're so happy. We're about to end in time, but like Adriana said, I'm just so happy to see the hashtags and the community exist. I know Adriana and I have been busy. I've also been going through some of my own personal stuff, but it is super cool to see it alive and well and just see it flourishing and everybody getting excited about this league. So as always, keep up with the content, follow the hashtags, follow everybody in the community, and enjoy the games. Enjoy Liguilla. It's always a fun time. And just, you know, enjoy yourselves, because at the end of the day, it is our football. All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you hopefully soon.